Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of UJ Sports Live. My name is Ronnie DeBulsey. I'm joined by Jim Donna, the former Georgia Bulldogs head coach, and the number one reason you were all here to watch this show on a Tuesday lunch period, if you will. Dane Young is on dad watch, their own baby watch. So we hope everything is going well with the Youngs, and we'll keep them in mind as they get ready to welcome here, hopefully in the coming days, weeks, another child. So Paul Mary too is expecting a baby next month. So
he's going to be outweighed there with outvoted.
Outvoted.
Not only two of them and him, now they're going to have three girls to go along with his wife. So congratulations to Dane. And, give Dane a little love here. I mean, the guy has really worked hard. Get his degree in Georgia, and then he just subsequently just got his master's while he was working over there, and does a good job for you and for our website, and just a hard-working young man. Very proud of him.
We'll only say that because he's got a baby coming. Any other time, I'm not going to be nice to him, so got to be nice on those days.
Hey, praise and encouragement's good as long as it's warranted. But
That's very true. That's the way you coach. That's the way Kirby Smart coaches. When we have press conferences, I was actually asked by somebody else in our industry. They're like, what's Kirby Smart like in the interviews? Does he tell you stuff? I'm like, if you ask him the right question, he will tell you stuff. If you ask him a stupid question, he will shoot you down. And there's certain information, like especially about injuries, he doesn't like to give out, because if he feels it can hurt his program, then he won't do it. But if you ask him, you're going to get a very frank assessment, good or bad. And there are a lot of times he uses that frank assessment to kind of get you going. So if you come in with a praising question about Carson Beck, he'll kind of deflate that balloon a little bit. But if you say this kid's not good enough, he will defend them to the nine. So he gets it from you. I can see it, Coach. It's like carbon copies.
I don't know about that, but he definitely tells you like it is, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I want you to tell it like it is. So far, we can talk about the transfer portal real quick, and then we'll talk about the NFL draft, and then we'll get to a lot of questions that came in. But so far, fingers crossed, Georgia has avoided the same, I don't say losses that they did in the first opening of the portal. The spring portal period has not been too bad. They lost Andrew Paul, the running back, who's very good, very talented. Expect a big year out of him wherever he winds up coming in year two off of his ACL injury. And Tyler Williams, a really tall wide receiver, hadn't really made much of an impact for Georgia. Wasn't a surprise to see him go. I predicted he would leave the first time when the portal opened. So not too bad so far. There's still days. There's still time. But so far, it hasn't been as bad. So let me get your thoughts on the transfer portal, who they've lost, and we'll talk about who they might be gaining here in a minute.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew just plagued with injuries here more than anything. Just we know about his ACL, but he also has an issue with his shoulder that hopefully he's not going to have to get repaired. But it bothered him last year and hurt him in situations because they worried about him on pass protection. Not because he couldn't do it, but just because of his lack of strength there. So he didn't get to play as much maybe as some other guys. And then Williams just got caught in the shuffle. Not going to say he's a recruiting mistake, but it just seemed like he didn't live up to the expectations as far as speed, hands, things like that. And maybe a new lease on life going somewhere else. He just got behind and never could catch up and depressed. And we do have some really good players there at that position. And on top of the ones that we just are getting ready to lose in the draft. So I think probably new place for him will be good.
We've got a really good question at the end of the show. I'll tease it now so you can think about it. It's talking about the draft is like, what is Georgia losing most in this NFL draft? And my first thought was Brock Bowers, but then I thought, well, a really good corner, that's a tough loss. A starting right tackle, that's a tough loss. So,
I would say, wide receiver. Yeah, and plus the leadership and the just the competitiveness of all those guys that just personified what Kirby wants in a player and in a program, and the way they went about their business, which enhances their ability to get drafted because the pros know they've been trained the right way and know what to do. And would encourage everybody to stick around to the end because I got two good jokes too.
All right, so we'll, we've got that question teed up, and we'll get coaches' thoughts on their biggest loss. And the leadership was a good one. I like this comment from Goat Dog here. He says, I can see Andrew Paul going off with Coach Dell to GSU.
You know, he definitely would be a big hit for Dell to get him because he knows the system and all that. But I think in the grand scheme of things, it's hard to go to a non-Power 5 school from a Power 5 financially. But, you know, plan-wise, I mean, he'd be a big star for him. So
he would.
I just don't see him making that move just because he's, I know he's supposedly at Michigan State this week. He's going to have a lot of suitors because he's a guy that can catch them all. But if they give him a physical, then he's going to have to get past that too.
That's a good point. We hardly ever talk about it. We talk about physicals in the NFL all the time, but we don't talk about too many physicals at the college level, but they're out there. James Wilkerson has a point here, coaches. I've seen via tweet that some guys in the transfer portal say they were contacted by Georgia, and I'm sure that's true. One guy who's been contacted by Georgia, and Georgia's actually hosting today, the news broke this morning at ujsports.com, that Jaden Rashada, the Arizona State quarterback who was initially pledged to go to Florida, the giant NIL deal fell through. The people who pledged the money at Florida couldn't pay it or didn't pay it. So he wound up getting out of his deal at Florida and wound up at Arizona State, started a couple games, got hurt, came back for like one of the last games they had there. Talented kid, talented quarterback. He's in Athens today. Give me your thoughts on Jaden Rashada.
You never know what Coach Smart's going to do. I mean, certainly that one is somebody that very talented. When I say very talented, he really special kid coming out of high school. And, you know, a lot of drama involved with this early NIL because nobody really knew what could happen and what couldn't. And I think in the end, it was just a lot of promises that Florida couldn't keep. And I could see that happening with, you know, early on, everybody's thinking, well, hey, we can get this money. Let's get it. Our alums and our people will come up with it. But that was an exorbitant amount. I don't know, over $12, $15 million. I think we read about, but I don't know how much, but
it's in here. $13.8 million with $500,000 up front.
Yeah, that's pretty much the average of those two. So I didn't miss it too bad, but you as usual, you're reading that stuff and I can't. So I think it's just a reality of a need here for somebody to challenge for the quarterback position when Beck leaves. And we've got some people there that can do it, but at the same time, if you can enhance your team, you bring somebody in to make it more competitive. And I think the fact that Ryan didn't get to practice this spring, but about seven or eight practices, there's some unknown there about him. Certainly he should recover from a stress fracture. But, you know, we feel good about Gunner, but he's still Rashada has played more than Gunner has. And Gunner's been here two years.
That's a good point.
So, I just trust Kirby and Coach Bobo to know the needs of your team. And, you know, there's a lot of experts out there, people that critique everything and all, but you know what you got to have if you're the chief operating officer of a company and you know what your needs are compared to your competitors. And I just feel like that I don't know enough about the situation prior to Arizona State. I know he got hurt out there. I know they had a new coach. It was a transition period out there. So the fact that he came here first after hitting the portal would mean to me, hopefully we can get him in here and close the deal and get rolling. So, but you can't blame the kid if he's going to look at situations around the country of really good programs and the quarterbacks at those programs now, not the ones that are committed. Got to look at Georgia and say, hey, you know, this is a chance for me to come in here and learn what to do and jump right in. He's got 4 years because he's redshirted this year. So I could see his point too. I mean, you're not going to look at Texas. I mean, they can't even get Arch Manning on the field. Ohio State brought the quarterback in from Alabama, and you got some other guys. And, you know, it's the same way with a lot of teams around the country.
This question from Greg Hendricks says, how likely do you see us having four scholarship quarterbacks, coach? And I would quickly add that Kirby has said numerous times he wants to have four scholarship quarterbacks plus a good preferred walk-on. So it's not just those four. He wants, because people say, oh, well, we got Colin Drake and, you know, another guy who, you know, that gives you four. It's not like four total. He wants four scholarly guys.
Right? We got the kid coming in from South Georgia too. That was a lot of schools went after in the non-power five schools. So I know he should be good too. But as far as the answer to that, I would say 100%, just because you wouldn't be this outwardly going after a guy and be out in the public if you weren't really sincere about it. So I just think it's hard to keep any secrets around here, but a lot of times there's some secrets that pop out and even you don't know them, Roddy. And it kind of scare people, kind of say what, but from the get go, this guy, I don't know if his agent put it out there or who, but as soon as he was in the portal, they said George is a leader on him. So we'll see. And the one thing about it is we're talking about this guy who might come here, but hopefully we'll talk about these kids that are getting ready to get drafted and give them their last chance to be recognized here on our show, because really proud of these guys. And but I do feel good about the fact that it just kind of exemplifies what Kirby's all about, that never taking anything for granted, always looking into the future, wanting to build your roster. So what if you got a couple good players there that it's going to have to understand we're going to bring good guys in? I mean, these corners, you know, I'm sure they feel like Ellis Robinson, hey, that's great. But then they see him play and now he's come in here to compete with them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, people.
Oh, absolutely.
So there's always somebody out there that, but the biggest point I would make is, let's prove it on the field. That's where it all counts.
Evan Grimes, a great supporter of our show, says, doesn't Georgia have to lose a few more kids to get down to the 85 scholarships? Are they just going to convert to walk-ons and let the NIL pay for their school?
I think it all kind of comes out in the wash. That's a good point that, you know, we are over, but there's going to be some attrition between now and the summer, whether it might be guys be put on injury situations where they can't. Now, I'm not saying there are any of them, but that's a way where a guy could get a medical and not play anymore, or decide not to play, or you know, we're 88 or so right now. We're not any jeopardy of having to, which we would never do, run somebody off or take their scholarship. But as he mentioned, there is the ability to pay for them through NIL, you know, where the guy can pay for his scholarship with NIL money. So, but I do think around the country, if you look at the really good programs, NIL has helped you, people griping about it, but it's really helped you in the fact that I would say most really good teams have 5 to 10 players that aren't listed on their scholarship group that are on some kind of really good aid to help them, you know, to give you more depth. So I don't think I'm going out of school saying that. I think that's
for Dan Jackson's on the record, coach, saying, look, I'm not on scholarship, but my NIL pays for everything. So,
well, good for Dan. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate that. But there's
I think that's work. Great. You know,
he's a starter too. I mean,
yeah.
But
Kyle Muse probably wasn't paying for a whole lot for his education at Georgia.
Another way to basically get some numbers there.
Yeah. Shahid Huckabee just tuned in. He said, I thought the visit for Rashad was pushed back. I did too. I thought he was going to come in around the end of the month, but sure enough, he's in Athens today. It was a story on the front page of ugsports.com. So check it
out. Yeah, it's pushed back from Monday to Tuesday.
Smart ass.
He was right.
This is why we have him on, folks.
No, it really was. I thought it was coming based on what maybe you told me or Jed May or somebody said he was coming in Monday, and then I heard he wasn't, and then this morning you told me he was coming in today. So,
yeah, I mean, we originally had Monday, then we had like the 30th, 31st, or the first, you know, towards the end of the month, and then we had, oh, by the way, he's here.
Yeah, what's good about it, too, guy can make an official visit. I mean, it's one thing to come in here for, you know, watch practice and then hit the road or something. But you get a guy here at University of Georgia, and I know this is a homer call here by the old coach, but I feel like if you can get a guy here and he really is interested and his parents are, you can seal the deal here. Couple reasons. Everything we got going for us facility-wise and the way we train players and all that. But our own players just do a tremendous job of telling it like it is. You know, they just say, look, if you want to come in here and compete and play against really good players in practice and get developed and get treated first class, that's the way it's going to be. But you're going to have to work for everything. But our own salesman here, our players are the best thing going for us.
To your point, when these kids come visit, we see that needle move. That's why we do a lot of updates. People go, well, the updates are always the same. They say they had a good time. But if you ask them, is Georgia in a better position to land your signature after this visit? The answer is almost always yes. And it's not just because, hey, I had a good time. They're like, you ask them why, they're like, well, I had a question about scheme. That was answered in the hour-long film session that we did. My mom wanted to know about my academics. I'm looking to go to the Terry College of Business. The dean of the business school came by and met with my mother.
Right.
Jerry Moorhead came by.
You know? We got a phenomenal hit rate going back to when I was here all the way through Coach Rick, now with Kirby. Just phenomenal as far as on campus, get them here. And just a little thing like this, that about 6 or 7 years ago, I was talking to a back and his parents that were standing out there on an official visit, and was talking to the mother. And she said, you know what really impressed me, Coach? And of course, I said, couldn't wait to hear what it was, you know, maybe $500 underneath, like, but no. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, when we went in there to meet with Coach McGee, he had his high school film and had it split up into some plays and then showed them how he would fit into our Georgia's stuff. And this is mother talking, and Georgia's stuff as far as running the same play. And he also critiqued him about what he needed to do better and all that. She said, that's just really good in-depth, the fact that they – have that kind of projection for him. And I always felt like we did a good job with tape and all, but you know, you just have that ability to do that now that you didn't, you know, take some stuff and, you know, make a guy feel like that, this is how you're going to project him and things like that. And it's just, you never know what's going to be the difference, you know, but
you're right. When we talk about these kids, when they visit, we always say follow the visits. It matters. And what was the number one reason Kirby Smart wanted that game out of Jacksonville was to get that every other year. He gets a game to host because those matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and when we like the big news we had yesterday, and I say the big news, we had a rivals camp on Sunday. And anytime a kid said, yeah, I have my official visit plan for June 11th through 12th through the 13th, we're like, okay, you know, this kid has, this is a legit chance for this kid to be in the class, because when they come on those official visits, they matter. So Jaden Rashada, you know, when we hang up, I'll start working on a commitment graphic just in case. Have a little graphic ready. Breaking news, Jaden Rashada is a Georgia Bulldog. So.
The other thing that happens too, on these camps and all, sometimes you ask these kids which schools are interested in you. And of course, you know, ego's involved. And if Georgia has contacted them at all, they're going to throw Georgia's name out there or Alabama or whoever. But, you know, but realistically, have they made an offer to you? I mean, that we contact a lot of people, but it sounds good. You see these guys once in a while, some of my friends will. Some guy will sign with somebody else, and they have the list of schools. How Georgia's up there? How in the world we lose that guy? And I said, well, one reason we didn't offer him a scholarship, but it looks good to have that cap up there or that hat and everything. And I know another thing that you always tell me to talk about sharing about official visits. When we first started having kids come here at Georgia, one of the things I felt like was to really get on a level with the parents that was outside of the academics and the football, and really worked hard with the coaches' wives and my wife and of trying to, make them feel good as far as after everything wound down, you know, have them over to your house. And we started playing cards over here at night. And sometimes we couldn't even get them to leave. They were playing.
Go home.
And if they want to stay all night, I was ready to cook breakfast for them. But I mean, and I can't cook. But seriously, that little thing, though, to me was another way to just make them feel like, you know, it was kind of a family deal. And you see all these different things that coaches do when they make official visits and everything. But
I know what you did. You played for money and lost, right?
Yeah, you got to build. Yeah, well, you got to build that trust, though. I mean, you got to get to the point where, as much as you want them to say yes, you want them to be able to say no to everybody else. That's a hard thing too. So many of these coaches have done a great job, and they got built up a relationship, and it's hard to tell other people no. But you know, you got to tell somebody yes, and everybody else no.
To your point, I remember a kid that said he was committed to Clemson, and he was telling us that he wanted to flip to Georgia, but he said, I just can't tell the coaches that I'm going to Georgia.
Hey,
played 3 years at Clemson, went pro.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard deal, but I used to say, look, get your coach to call him up. If you can't, your coach can do it, and then change your number. I mean,
you're always thinking that when you were playing cards with these folks, what was it? Canasta, spades, poker, generally?
I don't know. We had different tape, a little bit of everything. And they played domino. I mean, a lot of everything, had some really good cake too. I mean, Mark would fix up some good desserts over here. And this one kid from Florida's mother had three pieces of this one cake one night, and she was not a large lady, but I told her we could get her one every week if she came on up there.
Oh my God. I love it. I love it. All right, we got to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to talk a lot of NFL stuff. Oh, we need to talk about a quarterback when we come back besides Jaden Rashada. We'll touch on Ryan Montgomery real quick and then get into the NFL draft. But I want to mention our friends real quick at myperfectfranchise.com. It is a great website where you can go and find out a lot of information about how to get a franchise of your own. Andy Ludecky, he has a monthly contest on UGASports.com and a lot of the other rival sites where he basically puts out the details of a franchise and says, look, you just got to guess the franchise name. If you get the name right, we'll buy you a year of UGA Sports or Orange Bloods or, you know, our Auburn site or our Clemson site. So he does this across a ton of sites because a lot of the rivals membership has gone to him and gotten new franchises. Now, if you're like, I don't know if the franchise is right for me, I'm not sure if I'm ready for it. If you go to myperfectfranchise.net, click on the front page, it pops up automatically. There is a quiz there. Take the quiz and it will help you decide whether or not you are in a franchise way, if you will. So check out the quiz at myperfectfranchise.net and reach out to Andy Ledecky and he can get you squared away. Also want to mention our friends at Academia Brewing Company. They've been a longtime sponsor of our show. They always, there's always something fun going on out there, you know, be it a trivia night, live bands, car shows. They do the Brew Fest. They go to other places and they take their big Sarah bus out there. And the bus has all the taps on it and they pour beer for folks. But when I have people come to town, they're going to say, hey, where should we eat? I'm like, look, if you want a great place to go, try Academia Brew Company because you're going to get great beer, really good food, and there's always something going on. So if you're looking for a fun thing to do in Athens, try our friends at Academia Brewing Company. You will not be disappointed. Coach, before we move on to the NFL draft and get your thoughts on some of the guys that are going to be drafted, real quick, give me your thoughts on Ryan Montgomery. So Georgia basically has Carson Beck lined up. They got Ryan Carson Beck this year. Next year, it should be Gunnar Stockton. Then you got Ryan Puglisi. You could have Jaden Rashad in there somewhere. And then for their class of 2025, they got Ryan Montgomery. So give me your thoughts on Ryan Montgomery.
Yeah, I thought he made significant improvement between his sophomore and junior years, what I watched on him. And, you know, he's a very solid quarterback that just a, you know, a football junkie. This love, you know, reminds me of Jake Fromm from that standpoint, you know, just all over football. And I'm not comparing their athletic ability or anything, but seems to have a really good demeanor, really loves Georgia. You know, I think sometimes you get a little bit caught up in arm strength and mobility, all that stuff. But he really is a good quarterback that I'm sure is going to help us. Doesn't have – not many guys have arm strength like Carson and Ryan do. But he definitely – for us to not only sign him but just to recruit him, you know, we can decide who we want and who we don't. I mean, kind of selective recruiting here at Georgia. So I'm sure that the coaches had a good feeling about him, and that's why they took him.
That is a great point about the being selective, because a lot of the kids that we spoke to this past Sunday were like, yeah, I have offers from LSU, Tennessee, Florida, Florida State, so-and-so. I don't have a Georgia offer. They're coming to see me in spring practice to see if they're going to extend an offer. And that's the offer I want. So, and yeah, they, a lot of guys do drop that Georgia name, to which we all often respond, who's contacting you over there? Who's your main point of contact? You know, if it's not, you know, Mike Bobo or Uzo Deribe, you know, or Josh Crawford, if it's, well, this person in the recruiting office, which, hey, we love those people as well. I'm like, you're not being texted by a coach all the time, then you might not be that offer might be a contingent right on you coming to camp. So,
right.
So that's going. NFL draft starts Thursday. Coach, let me get your thoughts.
Can't wait. It's going to be exciting.
We have the latest mock draft. Basically, we went through all the mock drafts and our Patrick Garvin put them all together. And how do you want to do this, Coach? You just want to go through the list, or you just want me to tee you up? Give me your. How do you want to go about talking about the guys?
Well, I mean, that's about as small as you can have it, so you probably need to tee me up. I can't read
that's
that.
That's okay. Give me your thoughts on Brock Bowers. Let's start with him.
I mean, what else can you say? He's a can't-miss prospect. I know I feel so good about not only what kind of player he is, it's just what kind of person he is and family. And he's not going to the draft. He's going to have his own party at his house or someplace out there in Napa. I know Coach Hartley, I think, is going to go to it. Got to be among the top two or three players in the draft, but, you know, position needs and everything like that. But I could see him going anywhere, you know, in the top 10, but a lot of people are talking about Jets, and we'll have to see, but he's about as close to a can't miss guy as I've ever seen.
Yeah, there's three people that haven't projected the Jets. One hasn't projected to New Orleans. If he goes to New Orleans, I will lose my skull. Can't have that happen. Marius Mims, a lot of folks have him going at either 18 or 20 to Pittsburgh or Cincinnati, and one even has him at Dallas. Give me your thoughts on Marius Mims. A lot of questions about Marius.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
I was saying, I don't have any questions about Marius, but every time I get called about the draft, they're like, well, why didn't that guy start more?
Well, first of all, we know we had a starting tackle there that's playing for the Los Angeles team now, for the Chargers in McClendon. And, you know, I think early on, Marius had some kind of little small injury there and couldn't get in there. But they got mounds of tape on him against good players like Carter and all those guys rushing the passer. And the biggest issue with him is not so much him, but all these other good tackles that are out there. That kid from Notre Dame, they say he's going to go high. And there's a lot of first-round draft choices among the offensive tackles. So he's going to be a first-rounder, just a prototype. For people that watch our show, I talked about Jalen Carter in high school when we first started mentioning him. And I did the same thing with Marius Mims the first time I ever saw him at the summer thing when they had the played the games and all. He was here with his mother and just a giant kid that stood out among all the players there, including our players. So got a good personality, good person. Good family, and he could be, to me, a 10-year starter in the NFL, the way he can move on his feet. And I just think he's got a good chance to be a really great pro.
Yeah, it puts me in mind of Andrew Thomas, that sort of career. Yeah. Next up, Ladd McConkey. See a lot of him listed as the 33rd pick, 34th pick, 36th pick, 32nd pick, which put him in the first round of Kansas City, with the 45th pick. All five drafts have him as either a early second round or the tail end of the first.
Yeah, he's another guy that's just getting caught up with all these other receivers. I mean, you got the kid from Washington, you know, the kid from Ohio State, several from LSU. There's some really good receivers in the draft. So, but he's got a chance to be immediate impact, returning kicks, can play outside or inside, physically tough, got tremendous speed. I think he really helped himself going to the Senior Bowl. And of all things, a guy that I coached at Marshall, Troy Brown, who was a receiver coach for the New England Patriots. The way they do it now, they used to have everybody had the whole staff, you know, the Patriots whole staff or the Chargers. But now they have a position coach from different schools and let these guys train a little bit in more demonstrative leadership roles where they can develop, which I think is good for the NFL. You know, maybe a guy wasn't a coordinator, could be that for the game, and another guy can be the head coach. But Troy reached out to me. He said, Coach, this guy is – he's what you need in the pros. And for Troy to tell me that is pretty good. I knew it anyhow, but Troy was coaching him every day. He said he had tremendous intellect, really had great knowledge of the game, had really good feel. He said those guys didn't want to cover him in practice. He said, I felt bad about the game. We tried to get the ball to him several times, and the quarterback just didn't throw it to him. But he really is – very talented. He was doing this, said some of the same things about, we'll talk about Roseme in a minute too, but that kind of feedback to me is impressive. I mean, we can talk to Daniel Jeremiah and Daniel watches the tape and all, but if you got a guy on the field, and I always like to do this in camp, and I'm not digressing here, but I always like to get a guy in here and work him out myself about the things I want to see him do as a quarterback. And the same thing was true if I was assistant coach, but, you know, I had an instant ability there from my standpoint. I'm looking at what I'd seen in the past and what I wanted to really feel like, hey, this guy's got it or he doesn't. That's the same way Troy was talking about Ladd. So that's another good plus for Ladd that he was able to show out there. But he's another, just, you talk about a guy that just could be governor or be anything. I mean, just as good a kid as you'll ever meet. The other two, same too. I mean, just really class people.
Yeah, that's a good one. Let's look at Kamari Lasser, a bunch of second round predictions and a couple third round predictions for Georgia's cornerback.
Thing about Kamari, he's played in this system. They know he knows how to play technique. They know he's got a really good knowledge of football. He can play inside or out, really good on special teams, and met the challenge of going against some really good receivers and shutting them down. When he wanted to – Kirby wanted to make a move sometime, he moved him in to cover the slot and just shut him down. You saw what he did against the kid from Ole Miss. I mean, he's that kind of guy. I mean, again – maybe not quite as big or maybe not quite as fast as the metrics they're looking at, but he's a football player. He's going to make somebody's team, and I say he's second to third round pick.
Yeah, he was projected a little bit higher when the first rankings first came out, but I think to your point, the kind of lost a little bit in the numbers-wise, but hey, take him in the second round, take him in the third round, and then in 4 years, you're going to have to pay him a crap ton of money. Somebody who's moved up in the defensive backfield is
I just want to point this out, too, about it. I've watched this guy, and, you know, I don't go over there that much, but every time I ever watched this guy, even when he was just a young pup, he was always where he was supposed to be. He very seldom gets beat. He's a really good tackler, and he's just – it's just a given there. You know what I mean? You just know that Kamari's going to do what he's supposed to. And as a coach, you want that.
You taught me a long time ago, if you know what you're going to get from a player, you'll take him over a guy who might make a great play or who might make a really bad play. And the way Kirby likes to run that defense, you've got to have a guy that you can shut him down like that. Speaking of his Kirby Smart defense, Javon Bullard also getting a – he's moved up in the projected picks here. He's see, four different mock drafts have him in the second round, around pick 54 to 55.
Well, here's an example of a guy being a team player, played all these special teams early, played as a nickel guy, when he probably didn't meet that criteria quite to the nth degree, but, you know, tackling, knowledge, all that, but not a great cover guy. But he played enough, and he played in big moments there to really help our team, particularly down the stretch, the second championship where he was MVP both games on defense. But the thing you get in Javon, you got a safety, and I've said this before, you got a safety that when you get on the goal line and you got to play man-to-man coverage because you don't know if they're going to run or pass, so you don't substitute a lot, so you play your regular people. This guy can cover better than most safeties coming into the league because he's played corner and played nickel, but he's got the attributes of a safety, a King Kong tackler. I mean, put you on the ground, do everything like you're supposed to as far as knowledge of playing a half field coverage or deep third or supporting a run. Just got a lot of stuff in his, if you were checking out at Amazon, he would have a lot in his cart. I mean, he's got everything. He's got everything that you want in a safety. And on top of that, just a fiery competitor and really good leader. That's going to be the first day wherever he goes, he's going to step in there and just not be intimidated. He's going to go in there and take charge. So, you know, I'm going to tell you what I think about all these kids. And I just feel like we're losing two really good defensive backs there. And another one Ty Key, is he the next one we're going to talk about?
No, we're going to talk about Cedric Van Pran, but if you want to jump ahead to Ty Key, you can.
Yeah, I want to just talk about Ty Key because
stay on top
of what he had to endure coming in here as a highly ranked guy that played a lot of zone at West Virginia and wasn't used to some of the techniques that we had to do here, that we had him do. And it was a learning process. And then all of a sudden he tears his ACL and really puts him behind. But he was on the mat. I mean, you know, he was low as you could be as far as behind in coverage, behind with his injury, everything involved. But he stuck it out. And I really admire the way the guy made the best of what he had and the way he developed and worked under Coach Muschamp and Coach Brown and Coach particularly Kirby, and just really developed between his junior and senior year. The way he developed at Star was incredible. I mean, just make play after play and a lot of interceptions. And I would think if I'm a defensive coach in the NFL, I would probably play him at safety. But if you got enough safeties, he could still play nickel and all that. But and the other thing he brings to the table, just an unbelievable, really good special teams guy. So that's going to be in his favor too. And I'm not sugarcoating all these guys. I'm telling you, yeah. I would take Ty Key Smith in a New York minute and say, this is a steal. Wherever they get him, it's a steal.
I mean, if you're looking at the list, these are five different mock drafts. We use the same ones year after year because they're more accurate than everybody's got mock drafts. We even have mock drafts at UGA Sports. Everybody's got their own. But these are the ones that are industry standards because they're usually closer than anybody else. And so, you know, does Ty Key Smith get drafted? We got two of them that say he gets drafted in the fourth round, two that say he gets drafted in the fifth. And I'm with you, Coach. That is a steal. And I'm really kind of feeling sick to my stomach for Georgia fans because every one of these guys that you mentioned as a leader, they are the epitome of what Kirby Smart wants in leadership. And that leads me to Cedric Van Pran, a guy who I was joking on Montgomery Radio the other day that, you know, I don't know where he'll be drafted, but I know he'll be drafted by at least one political party to probably try to run for president because I don't even have the words for it. He is a future leader of Ben, Cedric Van Pran. So give me your thoughts about his NFL future because we have him here a third or fourth round pick.
Well, it's hard to have the communication skills that this young man has, particularly early on, came in here with it. And it's one thing to be able to talk and everything among other players and all, but just to stand up. Certain people, when they get up there in front of a microphone, just grab your attention right away. I mean, like James Earl Jones or something, you know, when he's talking about Arby's. I mean, you know that voice. I mean, this guy is just a voice of reason, very intelligent, and he does a good job of knowing what's involved in football. I think he really enhanced his position coming back and having another year. He's quick enough to move around. He's got really good sense of football, of what everything's happening. He could play guard. He's an NFL lineman. I mean, he's smart. You got to be smart up there. You got to have the ability to recognize what to do. And a lot of times it's not just all power, it's footwork because people move their fronts around and do all these things to rush the passer. So plus he's steady, you know, never – no bad snaps. I mean, you just know he's going to be there week after week, very high on said.
All right. I'm with you there. I'm going to have to remember that Amazon cart line.
I don't even know how I said that. That was really dumb.
That's great. His cart would be full. Because we always hear, he checks the boxes. I like this. His Amazon cart would be full. That's good.
And you get free delivery too if you pay so much a month.
Yeah, he's Amazon Prime full cart. All right, let's talk Kendall Milton and Dejon Edwards together. A pair of running backs going in. They're Three of the mock drafts have them as going, basically being undrafted free agents. Two of the mock drafts have them going in the fifth or sixth round.
Yeah, I think it's just a supply and demand there. Both of them got good skill set, and they're both can make an NFL team. They're good enough to play special teams. They can catch the ball. They know NFL protections, which is an advantage. So many teams just run spread offenses where it's mostly RPOs. But for the fans just to understand, if you've got a system where you run pass pro like the pros, where you've got to check a linebacker and then release, or where you're a hot release off a linebacker, or whether you're having to chip on a linebacker or whatever it might be, or spread out and pick up an outside backer coming off the edge, or pick up a safety coming on a corner blitz or whatever it might be. I think that's really a good attribute to, because you're going to go in that room right off the bat. And if you're kind of the same ability of a guy that's just run a system where they run RPOs and never have any drop back passing, then you're going to be able to jump off in that mini camp ahead of him just mentally. And I think that both of those guys will do that. They're just each one's got some separate things that maybe limit them a little bit. Size for Edwards, but he's a powerful guy. Milton's had trouble with some injuries, but he certainly came through at the end of the year. Both quality young men, just smile all the time and good leaders. They'll both make an NFL team.
I agree. And the last one is Marcus Roseby, Jack Saint. There's only one of the five mock drafts that has him predicted to be drafted, and that would be at in the seventh round to Baltimore, 228.
Yeah, I think the fact with him is doesn't have a lot of catches, but boy, his blocking, his ability to catch the ball in traffic, and his catch radius is such that somebody's going to pick him up, and you know, certainly Baltimore knows about him because of Munkin being there. Tampa knows about him because McClendon's there now. So I think he'll get late. He'll get picked up late because he's played in this system and he's played against good defensive backs. Had a really good camp over there at the Senior Bowl. Troy was high on him too. He said, "Guy's really a good route runner and he's physically tough. He'll make a team too."
I agree 100%. All right, we've got a lot of questions in the comment section here. We've got a lot of questions from our viewers. We'll get into them. But before we do that, I want to mention our friends at Athens Ford. Let me bring them up here real quick. The cool thing right now about Athens Ford is when you check them out, they have 854 vehicles on their lot right now. That is a lot of actual cars. So we go out there next time, you're going to be able to see all the Mustangs, all the Explorers, all the Broncos, all the F-150s, 250s, all the fun ones. And right now, there's always specials going on, but I want to call your attention to the fact that they are a Carfax 2023 top-rated dealer. So when you go out there, less times at the end, you buy a car at the end, they say, "Hey, would you mind going to ratemydealer.com or something like that, you know, or go to Carfax and give us a review." And they get so many positive reviews that they're able to do a five-star Friday, which is where they say, "Hey, here's another five-star review." So many people have had good experiences at Athens Ford and have left such high reviews that, you know, they're a 2023 Carfax top-rated dealer. They've won plenty of awards for their customer service. Even their online customer service is really good. When you actually call up there, you get a human being. If you do a live chat, it's not with some AI person. You can actually speak to someone there. So check out our friends at Athens Ford. You will be glad you did so. Also, today is Tuesday. It is the normal day at YourPi, where when you order any YourPi on the YourPi app, if you order a pizza, you order a sandwich, you order salad, you order pasta, breadsticks, gelato, brownies, drinks, whatever, you get double the points. The other thing right now, if you use the YourPi app, you take out your phone, you bring up the YourPi app, you get free cheese sticks with any online order of $10 or more. So your cheese sticks are really good. Try them when you get a chance. And for those folks who are new to the show, who haven't tuned in a whole lot, YourPie has been a sponsor for years and years and years. It is a, and it's kind of, you think of like the Subway model where you walk in and you say, hey, look, I want this bread and I want all this lunch meat and here are the toppings. It's the same thing with a pizza. You walk in, they lay out the dough, sauce, the cheese, you know, you pick everything you want, you pop it in an oven, you go pay, you get your drink. By the time you sit down, it's ready. It's phenomenal. And you'll absolutely love it. For those of you who've never been, go to a store, try it out, see what you think. For those of you who go all the time, be sure to order today, even if you want your pizza Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. You can go ahead and order today and get the double point. So it's easy, an easy thing to do there. All right.
Hey, Roger, you know one thing about they faked me out at YourPie. I went up there. You did such a good job last week of talking about how good everything was. I went up there that night, the one here in Beachwood, and they've changed their situation around a little bit. It used to be they would make it right there in front of you, and then you pay at the end. And so I was able to tell them, look at each thing and tell them what I wanted as they put it on there. But now they got a way that you just order it. I guess it helps their whole situation. But regardless of how you order it or how they fix it or anything, it is the real deal. You get what you want, and you get it fast, and it's just about the right amount for anybody that's got a regular appetite. But I'm telling you, I can't tell you how much I enjoy the way they treat you when you go in there, the way they, you know, service is always good, and food's just tremendous. And of course, the fact that, you know, that we get so much from Drew and Natalie as far as being Georgia supporters, even if, they didn't support our show. I mean, they do so much for Georgia. It's unreal. So go get you a pizza today and tell them the old coach sent you.
Yeah, there's one here in LaGrange I need to check out again. I love those folks. First question is from Billy Zane. He says, Georgia is often described as running a pro-style offense. We're not running a spread or triple option or any other offense usually limited to high school or college, but can you explain what pro-style means in 2024? I feel like most NFL teams don't run what has typically been considered pro style anymore.
Yeah, I think what Billy, and of course, Billy does a good job. I mean, I give him credit. He's very cerebral in his analysis on it, so I better give him a good answer. But if you just go back to the old days, Johnny Unitas, you had two wide receivers, a tight end, two backs, and a quarterback. And the quarterback just backed up to throw the ball, or he handed the ball off, and there weren't any situations where it was anything but just pro football. As compared to college football, a lot of teams were lined up in the T formation, the wing T, the wishbone, all that. So that's how pro got the word pro. They were in 21 personnel, two backs, one tight end, two receivers. But as football has progressed, you've seen so much where different amounts of you can only have 11 players on the field, but how do you put those 11 out there? Three wide receivers, sometimes four, sometimes five, sometimes two back. So you call it a college system, and they call it spread because it's usually once you get more than one extra receiver is spread out, and that's how spread came. And then you added the evolution of RPOs, which the pros do, but they don't do it as much because an RPO is when you call a run and the lineman block the run. And if it's not too much pressure, you can go ahead and run the ball. But if it is, then you have a tag on the outside where receivers run a route regardless. But then the difference is in the pros, the old lineman can't go down the field as far. So you could get called for O-lineman being down the field on an RPO if the quarterback kept it too long because they're blocking the run and not knowing if it's run or pass. In college, you can go that extra yard. It's easier. So we talked about pro protections. By that, I mean you identify the line of scrimmage. You have usually the offensive lineman on a pro protection of block. The guard's got one on the line. The tackle's got two on the line. The center's got the nose or the mic. The back's got the SAM. The other back's got the will. On the weak side, the guard's got one on the line, two on the line. But if you have different kind of looks, then you have to change up at who's got who. So that's a pro protection. You have like just backup protection. You got scat where the back would just leave and no protect at all. And if a linebacker comes, the quarterback hits him. You got slide where you turn to keep from penetration. You've got sprint out. All the teams in the pros use those, but a lot of colleges don't, because it takes a lot of inordinate amount of time to teach these looks against all the things you see in college. And so, long story short, pro system is a lot more seated in philosophy and technique and everything. College, you don't have them to teach them as long. You don't have them all day long to coach them as far as in the classroom. So a little less work on pass protection. So that's the way I would tell it.
I like it. Basically, it's simple. All right. Some of the other questions here. We answered the one from Greg Hendricks about quarterbacks. We asked the one about 85. Here's the question from another one from Greg. Where do you see Brock Bowers going in the draft? What team did you see him coach? You mentioned the Jets. Can you see him going anywhere else?
You know, I think the Chargers got to look at him, but particularly Harbaugh ought to think, good Lord, this guy, we couldn't cover him in warmups, much less the game. But I think Chargers could use him, but I don't know what their needs are. That's the thing that I'm not really caught up in, to study these like everybody, these draft people do, you know, as far as what a lot of it has to do with where you are on the board. Some team will take a guy because he's the best available player, whereas you might pass on him because your team needs a certain position. So we're probably going to see a couple of these teams that have extra draft picks maybe trade to get move up if they want to. You know, there's a lot of talk about J.J. McCarthy all of a sudden moving up in the draft from Michigan or whoever it might be. So a lot of will be determined for Brock about if there's any more trades. If, you know, you hear the first three guys are going to be quarterbacks and maybe four out of the first five, and then you got to start talking about these receivers. Mm-hmm. You know, where do you need those guys and where they go? And then that tackle. So Brock's going to go early, though, that's for sure.
I like this. Jay Mosky says, who do you think the Eagles are going to pick from Georgia this year? They get a couple every year.
That's good. They need to get some more based on the way they played last year. I mean, they let Swift go. I know Swift's going to play for the Bears, but, you know, it's a good question. I mean, in Green Bay goes for them, and I know Coach Andy Reid has told me, you know, they just draft so late being a Super Bowl champion that they don't have the picks to take these guys. But he's high on our, you know, when a head coach of an NFL team tells me something good about a guy when they met with him, I like that. Like, for instance, it's after the fact now, and George Pickens is playing for Pittsburgh, but one thing about it, Andy said, hey, man to man, I was impressed with Pickens. I'd heard a lot of different things about him, but I liked my interview with him. So, I mean, I thought that was good.
Wow, that's inside you can't get anywhere else, folks. That's why you watch this show. Whistling Whiskey, that's a great handle.
Ooh.
Says, how about those tennis dogs, Coach? And also, why didn't we have Mikael Williams standing up more last year?
Yeah, I think a lot of that is just because of who we had on our team and all that, and we needed him inside. But definitely we had him some in nickel situations, but definitely he's going to be a force out there. He knows how to use his body and rush the passer, and he showed what he can do deflecting passes. A very good athlete. And, you know, I don't know any other thing to say, but I'm glad he's here. As far as the women's, just congratulations to Drake Bernstein, first year coach, win the conference and then win the tournament. Got a good shot in NCAA. Girls really improved from the first of the year, had a couple losses on the road and got a little down, but then this came on strong. And also congratulations to Josh Brooks and Ford Williams for the facility that we were able, and all the people that donated to it, because we needed that indoor for the championship Sunday because of the rain. And just kind of showcased what Georgia tennis is all about. I hate that Coach Diaz is retiring, but feel good about Jamie Hunt coming up. And with our facilities, with the outdoor place we got now and the indoor, second to none anywhere, I think you're going to see a lot of championships on both men's and women's coming in the future for the Dogs.
There's nothing like covering an NCAA championship in tennis.
We got it in 26, I think.
Man, that's, I can't wait. Coach, got a couple jokes for us?
Yeah, I do. This guy was interviewing for a job, and the man was impressed with him and said, look, said, I can just tell you right now, I'll start you out at $18 an hour, and then if you after 6 months, I can pay you $25 an hour. And he said, yeah, that sounds pretty good. So he said, hey, when can you start? He said, 6 months.
Sorry, Kevin.
So the other one was this man and a woman were at their house, and they were, like so many people, they were arguing. And rather than just get into a he said, she said, he just said, I'm going upstairs. So he had a dartboard up there. So he took a picture of his wife and put it right there in the center, started throwing darts at it, but not doing a very good job. But he's making a lot of noise, you know, hitting the wall. And she hollered up there, say, honey, what's going on up there? He said, I'm missing you.
Oh, God. Oh, I love it. I love it.
And the third.
I got to make a note. I got to call my aunt. Tell her that one, because she will.
The third one was, which I hesitated a couple weeks ago, but I checked it out and Dane thought it was okay. It's nothing. These three ministers were talking about that they had a situation where they got out in the woods and they saw a bear, and the Catholic priest worked with the bear and talked him down and finally convinced him to, you know, come to church the next week. And second was a Methodist preacher, and he did a really good job and convinced the bear that he needed to have you know, come and be baptized and join the Methodist church. And the third one was a rabbi, and he was laying on a gurney there at the hospital. And he said, I guess I shouldn't start out with trying to circumcise him. All right, sports fans, that's it.
Good. Bad. All right, folks, this is all the time we have for this week's show. We will talk to you next week. Y'all take care. We'll see you then.